We're going to be looking at Psalm 106, but we actually have a couple other passages we're going to be turning to in the Old Testament. So depending on how many fingers you have, you might be able to hold your place in 106, and we'll look in other places as well. One of the main things that I was really struck by as I studied Psalm 106, and one of the big questions I had, was how in the Old Testament, how do we sing the Psalms for people in the New Testament? I mean, you know, the general understanding is that Christ is in the Old Testament, and the Psalms are always pointing to Him and to the work of God to save His people. But I think tonight, I hope to really illustrate what we see in the Psalms and how we, as the New Testament people of God, can look back and see what God has done and then how it really does impact us. The same God doing the same work to save people, and of course now saving from every tribe and nation in keeping His promise to Abraham. Well, last week we saw from the opening of Psalm 106 that the psalmist was telling people, verse 1, Jared read it earlier, "Give thanks to the Lord because He is good. His love endures forever." And so you have this great encouragement to the people of God. Give thanks to the Lord. And then in verse 2, there's that question. Who can utter the Lord's mighty deeds and declare His praise? And then he gives the answer to that question in verse 3. Blessed are those who observe justice and who do righteousness at all times. And then that's where it sort of got into trouble, didn't it? Because as we saw last week, the people of God were not doing righteousness at all times. They weren't observing justice. They weren't even fearing God at times and were doing all kinds of wickedness. So how can sinners qualify under the standard of verse 3? How can we qualify to give praise to our God? So in the brief study we had last week, psalmist rehearsed and admitted the sins of Israel, and also his own sin and his part in all of that in verse 6. And then verse 7 to 43 just covers sin after sin after sin. And let me just mention a few of them. I mean, we categorized them from last week. And here's some of the categories we had. Let me see if I can find it here. Okay. Yeah, so some of the categories we had were that they were rebellious, that they turned away from God in disbelief, that they were apostate, they were the next generation turned away from God, they were idolatrous, they were rejecting Moses as their deliverer, they were discontent, they drew back, they got right to the edge of the promised land and drew back. And so these people over and over again were terrible at following God. So the psalmist and the people should not be able to speak praise, at least not without looking like hypocrites. But in verse 4, he does plead, "Lord, remember me when you show favor to your people." In other words, he's looking ahead and saying, "I know you're going to show favor to them. I know you're going to save them. Lord, save me when you save them." And so I think we need to update the question, or think again on this question. Why should the Lord remember His people, turn away His wrath, allow sinners to praise Him, and then also to expect that they will fear the Lord and obey Him? How can God expect all that? How can the psalmist encourage all that from the people of God when they just aren't there? They're not up to it. Well, let's pray, and I hope to be able to see that together with you tonight in Psalm 106. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You love Your people. From eternity, You have set Your love on Your people. You long for Your people to deepen in faith and in obedience and in assurance, knowing Your love for them. Help us think more deeply about this psalm, and really about how we can see all of these psalms in light of what Christ has done. Then grant us Your wisdom to live by Your word and in our everyday lives to look to You and to trust You more. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, to help update our question, I want you to turn to Leviticus. We're going to go backwards so that we can go forward. It's like a rugby match, okay? So we're going to go backwards to go forwards. And Leviticus 26 is Moses talking to the people, having given them the law, and particularly about the Sabbath. He's talking about the blessings and obedience, blessings for obedience, and then the disobedience factor, or consequences for disobedience. And Moses is reviewing this in chapter 26 of Leviticus. To summarize 26:14-39, the Lord declares that Israel will repeatedly be humbled. They're going to be disobedient, is what he's saying, and they're going to be repeatedly humbled and oppressed by their enemies because of their sin, because of their rebellion, because they've forgotten the Lord and turned away from him. Now, if you're flicking back and forth, you might have your finger still in Psalm 106. Psalm 106, verse 40-43, which Jared read a bit earlier, expresses this cycle of continually being put under the oppression of their enemies for their wickedness, for the way that they have acted towards God. But if you look at verse 43 of Psalm 106, right at the end, it tells us, in summary form, they were brought low through their iniquity. In other words, because of their rebellion, because of their disobedience, God continually exposed them to the enemy, and the enemy kept bringing them lower and lower, and they would sin more, and then God would put them back under. And that was Judges over and over and over again. So Leviticus chapter 26, 14-39, in summary, is Psalm 106, verse 43 at the end. Brought low through their iniquity, their continued rebelliousness over and over again. Now we're going to read Leviticus 26. So I guess keep your finger in both places and look at verse 40 of Leviticus 26. I'm just going to read it here. But if they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers in the treachery that they had committed against me, and also in walking contrary to me, so that I walked contrary to them and brought them into the land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised heart is humbled and they make amends for their iniquity, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob. I will remember my covenant with Isaac and my covenant with Abraham, and I will remember the land. But the land shall be abandoned by them and enjoy its Sabbaths while it lies desolate without them, and they shall make amends for their iniquity because they spurned my rules and their soul abhorred my statutes. Yet for all this, that when they are in the land of their enemies, I will not spurn them, neither will I abhor them so as to destroy them utterly and break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. But I will for their sake remember the covenant with their forefathers, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the nations, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. Does any of that sound familiar from Psalm 106? Maybe you don't exactly remember everything, but the continual humbling of God's people and the restoration that God says that he will do in remembering his covenant. Let me just run through really quickly. Look at Leviticus 26. If they confess their iniquity and their father's sin is what he says in verse 40. Psalm 106, that's exactly what the psalmist does. He confesses his iniquity and the sins of his fathers. Leviticus 41 at the end. If their uncircumcised heart is humbled and they make amends for their iniquity. Well, Psalm 106:44 says, nevertheless, he looked upon their distress when he heard their cry. They cry out to him, and he hears them. Leviticus 26:42. Then I will remember my covenant with Jacob and Isaac and Abram. And that's what Psalm 106:45 tells us. For their sake, he remembered his covenant, and he relented according to the abundance of his steadfast love. And just to draw that out a bit more, God says that he remembers them because they're about to perish. And he doesn't want them to be utterly destroyed, wiped off the map. And so God is going to rescue them. Leviticus 26:43, the land is going to be abandoned by them. In other words, what God is going to do is move them out of the land, and then the land will have rest because they abhorred my statutes, is what Leviticus 26:43 says. Who cast them out of the land? The Lord did. He had them taken away by their enemies to a foreign land. And Psalm 106:40 and 41 says, the Lord abhorred his inheritance. They abhorred the Lord and his statutes, and God abhorred them right back. But he wasn't going to forget his covenant. He wasn't going to let them be utterly wiped out. The Lord abhorred his heritage. He gave them into his enemies' hands. But when they cried out to him in their distress, he rescues them. He remembers them and the covenant he made with their forefathers, and he rescues them. So you see, from Leviticus 26, you see some of those themes picked up in 106. The rescue of God's people when they cry out to him. So here's what's evident from what we've seen thus far. The people are powerless to turn away God's wrath. They're not obedient. They don't fear the Lord, and God is angry with them. They don't rightly fear the Lord. They don't keep and obey God's laws. They're a mess. And in Psalm 106, at this point in the history of Israel, they've been carried off into exile. They're singing this psalm from exile, from another country. So there's trouble going on here. But the people cry out to the Lord in their distress. He hears them. And the last thing that's sort of evident from what we've looked at so far is that for their sake, he remembered his covenant. And he relented according to the abundance of his steadfast love. In other words, because he loves his people, because he's looking out for them, because he longs to rescue, when they cry out to him for their sake, he remembers his covenant. And he doesn't want to utterly destroy them. One more place we're going to look in the Old Testament, so going a little bit forward, Deuteronomy chapter 30, if you'll turn there. Sort of keeping your finger in 106, but not quite as crucial just yet. But Deuteronomy 30. I'm just going to read Deuteronomy 30, 1-6, and then we'll go through this quickly. Deuteronomy 30, beginning in verse 1. And when all these things came upon you, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before you, and you call them to mind along all the nations where the Lord your God has driven you. In other words, the people of God are going to be driven out of the land. God is saying he knows that's what's going to happen. And when you return to the Lord your God, you and your children, and obey his voice in all that I command you today, with all your heart and with all your soul, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have compassion on you. And he will gather you again from all the peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you. If your outcasts are in the uttermost part of heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will take you. And the Lord your God will bring you up, will bring you into the land that your fathers possessed, that you may possess it. And he will make you more prosperous and numerous than your fathers. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring, so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and that you may live. Do you hear it, don't you? The Lord knows what's going to happen to his people. The Lord knows he's going to have to bring the curses on them. But he's telling them way back in Deuteronomy, when this happens, when you cry out to me, I will bring you back and I will restore you and your children to the land. But then he gives this extra bit that you will serve with all your heart and all your soul. So let's just scan through Deuteronomy. The people will experience the blessing and the curse. They will recall the Lord after they've been scattered, and God will gather them. So that's verses 1 to 4 of Deuteronomy 30. He'll restore them to the land. And then in verse 6, it says that the Lord will circumcise their hearts. Now that's what God's been after all along, is to change people's hearts. because he knows that their hearts are full of wickedness. That's what we see in Psalm 106. It's what we see back in Moses' day. The people's hearts are not strong enough, are not obedient. They don't love the Lord with all their heart. So God is going to circumcise their heart so that they love the Lord with all their heart and with all their soul. And then look down at verse 8 of Deuteronomy 30. And you shall again obey the voice of the Lord and keep his commandments that I am commanding you today. The Lord your God will make you abundantly prosperous in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your womb, in the fruit of the cattle, and the fruit of your ground. God is going to prosper his people. They shall again obey the voice of the Lord and keep his commandments. Now let's think back on that question. We should be able to answer it by now. Why should the Lord remember his people, turn away his wrath, and allow sinners to praise him and expect that they may fear and obey him? Why should they do that? Well, the answer is simply this. The Lord said that he will remember, and the Lord said that he will do it. He's not putting any kind of hope and that the people are going to do it on their own, that they're going to be able to gather their thoughts enough, that they're going to be able to do enough to make him happy. He's saying, I will remember and I will circumcise their heart. Leviticus 26:45. But I will, for their sake, remember the covenant with their forefathers, whom I brought up out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the nations, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. God says he will remember. Deuteronomy 4:31. Now, we didn't look at that, but it's closely tied to Deuteronomy 30. So Deuteronomy 4:31, it says this, for the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not leave you or destroy you or forget the covenant with your fathers that he swore to them. In other words, again, the Lord will remember his covenant. When the Lord says that he'll remember his covenant, the people can rest in the word of God. God makes a promise, he will fulfill it. God says he will do it, he will do it. Now, but what about their unbelief? What about their discontentment, their jealousy, their idolatry? Remember the list of things that we saw in Psalm 106, from verse 7 all the way down to verse 43. List after list after list of evil and wickedness. What about all that? The Lord will remember his covenant, so we know that God is faithful. What is he going to do about their wickedness? What is he going to do about their heart? Well, we've seen that too, haven't we? What is going to be done to deal with that utter iniquity? Well, Deuteronomy 30. We just looked at it. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring, so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. And down at verse 8, and you shall again obey the voice of the Lord and keep his commandments that I am commanding you today. So the psalmist and God's people in the Old Testament can rest. And so you have the Psalm 106 crying out to the Lord for help, crying out to the Lord for deliverance, admitting their sin, and then looking to God and saying, God, please rescue us. And the Lord is going to remember his covenant, and he's going to deal with his people and their hearts and the hearts of their children so that they will obey and keep all his commands. It's exciting, right? Can we be excited with our brothers and sisters from the Old Testament that God is going to deal with them? Israel can rest in God's work to save. But what about us? Can we, as the people of God, sing Psalm 106? Well, sing, I can't sing that. But anyway, can we say with the people of God in Psalm 106, God, we want to trust you like our Old Testament saints, the brothers that we have that's gone before. We want to trust you like them. We want to be included with them. Can we sing that? Because I'm disobedient. I don't always fear God. I can't keep the commands of God perfectly. And because I've broken at least one command, I've broken the whole law. I'm not obedient. I hope I'm not the only one, right? All of us in here would be saying we fail frequently. Will God remember me? Will God save me? Before we leave Deuteronomy, let me show you. Verse 11 to 14 of Deuteronomy 30. Verse 11 to 14 of Deuteronomy 30. For this command that I command you today is not too hard for you, neither is it far off. It's not too hard for you to keep this command, is what God says. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend to heaven for us to bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? In other words, the people are saying, you know, it's not too hard, God says. You can do this. And it's not that far away. It's right among you. What does he say in verse 14? But the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so that you can do it. What? What are you saying, God? It's in my mouth, it's in my heart, it's in the heart and the mouth of the people in the Old Testament. What are you talking about? What word is so close to us that it's right on the tip of our tongue, that it's right on the edge, that we can speak it and be saved? What word is that? Well, maybe you don't know this. Maybe you do. Paul quotes this verse. Paul quotes this in Romans chapter 10. So I'm going to ask you to turn to Romans chapter 10. Paul quotes this in relation to Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 10, verses 6 to 8, Romans chapter 10, verses 6 to 8, Paul says this, but the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? Sounds slightly familiar from what we just read, doesn't it? That is to bring Christ down. So Paul is putting Christ clearly before us, and he's applying the Old Testament scriptures to this situation, these verses. Verse 7 of chapter 10 in Romans, who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. Verse 8, but what does it say? And he's quoting from Moses. The word is near you, in your mouth, in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. What is the word that we could speak that's so close to us that we just declare it and God would save us? It is this. Verse 9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified. With the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. And this is the greatest news of all. The way my Old Testament brothers were saved in looking to Messiah and looking to Christ, Paul says right here in Romans chapter 10, look at verse 12, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Psalm 106. I can sing Psalm 106. You can sing Psalm 106 with confidence. It doesn't matter the amount, the iniquities, the evil, the wickedness that you've done. You turn to the Lord and you cry out for mercy, and God will rescue you. He promises it. It's his word that we look to for salvation. He deals with our hearts. He circumcises our hearts. He remembers His covenant to our father Abraham. Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful because when we read Your word from cover to cover, it speaks of Your love, Your everlasting love. Lord, You are the eternal one. You are the one who has rescued both Jew and Gentile in Your Son. Your deeds to rescue are written down so that we can remember and live for hope for that day when Jesus comes. You will return, You will make all things new, and You will rescue us. Lord, thank You for circumcising our hearts, for changing them. Thank You for the promise that You will deal with our sins, that You will put them away. Thank You for Your promise that is true continually. Help us to trust You. Lord, help us to follow You in faith and cause our joy to overflow. And for Jesus' kingdom and for His glory we ask. Amen.
God's own Son, precious Lamb.